Will you turn with me in the Word of God to Romans chapter 8? Romans 8 is page 1005 if you have a church Bible. Romans 8. And we will read from verse 18. Surviving the storms. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare it with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Amen. That's the word of God. And then just the first verse of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Surviving the storms. Most people would use hope today, if you like, as a synonym for making a wish or fulfilling a dream, satisfying a desire. To some, it may be a roll of the dice. We hope it lands on the six, the right side. Sometimes they just want, people want something that is actually completely out of reach. They're hoping, if you like, for something that they probably never, ever will obtain, but they still have a wish, they still have hope that that Lexus that they saw in the newspaper will be theirs, that they have the £40,000 to buy it. They hope that one day that will be theirs. Some hopes are within reach, but they're still hopes. They're not certain. We may hope that we get that promotion. We may work hard so that we do get that promotion. If it's the Lord's will, we hope it's beyond reach. It is a possibility. We hope that that girl who we fancy may in fact like us and that we will be able to get engaged and married. It's a hope. It's not an impossibility. We hope is within our reach, but it is not certain, is not definite. Is a desire, it may come to fruition, it may not. Many people last night were putting their hope in the lottery. That's what they were doing, that is their hope. Some are looking for hope beyond hard circumstances. Some are looking for hope. They can see the tunnel, they're in the tunnel, but they can't yet see any light at the end. But they're hoping that they will get to the other side of the tunnel. And we've all been in that situation at one or another time, haven't we? When it feels as if our feet are stuck in 30 inches of cement. And it seems hopeless. Some people, of course, turn their hope for the salesperson who rings them up at 6 o'clock at dinner time and offers them real incentives. Say, hey, if you do this, ring this number, fortune is yours. Success is yours. They put their hope in the telemarketeer, wanting a quick route for success. Others, of course, put their hope and look for advice from the mediums, from the psychics who claim some divine omniscience, which is not theirs, but that they can supposedly go into the deep hidden secrets of your life. And if any of you have been tempted to do that or have done it, I pray that you have been washed by the blood of Christ, because it is dangerous, it is paranormal, it can be real, it's devilish. If anybody has any time and you feel you've not been set free, you've not been cleansed from that particular sin and it may still have a hold on you, please do seek us, seek for prayer, and you will find deliverance. We must not give place to the enemy at all. But people today, they will buy the sun, they will buy the mirror, they will buy the express whatever. Look for the horoscopes. Their hope is in that. They all contradict each other, but they cannot see through it. A veil is there, but they hope. Others, of course, and particularly nominal Christians, will put their hope in the well-groomed, expensively clothed TV preacher man, promising them the earth if only they will give to their ministry and become a partner. They will, and they put their hope because they believe they will get their healing. God is gracious. God does work through these things, but we should not put our hope in these uncertain things as believers. Let us think what biblical hope is. See, we're living, folks, we are, aren't we? Is hopelessness all around us? There's fear, isn't there? There's despair. Even our young people, children at school, they are worried. They see the news. They see what's happening perhaps within their own family, within their communities. They understand that we're living in violent times, depraved times, security. They don't have security. They understand something of the threat of the nuclear atoms and so on. They know there isn't much peace, often within family, certainly within communities. There's a lot of fear, there's a lot of mistrust. And many are just feeling hopeless, so young people join gangs and all sorts of things just to make them feel important and secure, etc. And it just breeds more and more hopelessness. You see, friends, if to be in Christ is to have hope eternal, it means without Christ is utterly hopeless. Is absolutely hopeless, isn't it? There is no hope apart from salvation in the Lord. Because we may get, and we have got things which we desired and hoped, but they may not have necessarily lasted. The joy goes out, and familiarity, etc., may not, you know, breed contempt and all that sort of thing. What we'd really set our hearts on outside of Christ can and does happen. And it might be a blessing to us for a time. We can praise God for it, but it soon evaporates. So we need to be in Christ. There's a beautiful verse in, there's many great verses, of course, in Scripture. But remember in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Gentile believers. These are believers in Jesus Christ. And he says to them in chapter 2 of Ephesians, remember that you once were without Christ. You once were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Hopeless. We were like that once. I was. Without God, no real hope for this life or for eternity. And it's a dim picture that the world offers us. Even the hope that is depicted in magazines, in sitcoms, etc., the talk shows, then their hope is normally placed on three things, is it not? Brains, bodies, and bucks. Isn't it? Jeremiah has something to say in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 9, we read this. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness upon the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. That's Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. So let's just think for a moment on the character of living hope. The character of biblical hope. See, what does the Bible mean when it speaks of hope? See, hope biblically is not a whim. It's not a cultist dream. It's not a throw of the dice. It's not even a simple wish. Biblical hope is a reality. It's a fact. Not maybe not yet realized, but it's a hope that is rooted in eternity. It's a hope that is rooted in our God. Praise be to his name. That the Lord has pledged, the Lord has declared to be true with the full assurance that it will come to pass in his sovereign plan. In other words, hope is holy obedience to God's eternal promises. Hope is believing in God and his goodness and his promises. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yes, we are saved by faith. It's God's grace. We exercise faith in the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Savior of sinners. But our salvation is accompanied by hope, with hope. Hope accompanies our salvation. Listen to these very, very powerful words of Scripture as to what hope truly is. We find it in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. In a moment I will burst into a hymn. No, give me a box and I won't. Sorry. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. What powerful words. This hope we have, believer, this hope we have is an anchor to the soul. Praise be to the Lord. The writer to the Hebrews says, our hope is an anchor for the soul. Sure, steadfast, fixed, connected with the one who was a forerunner for us. Literally, we are chained with Christ. That's got to be good news. That has to be an amazing news. There's another scripture I just want to bring to you, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter and chapter 3. And, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to what? A living hope. He's begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hope. The sure and steadfast hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. I find these words so encouraging. I really, really do. I find them so encouraging. Our hope is living. God wants us to be people of hope. People of destiny. People who know that He has their future in His hands. People who are of faith. People who trust. Our hope is living. It's obtained through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing. How He loves us. How He loves us. And listen to the, you know, we've just read from Hebrews and from Peter. Some precious, precious words. Precious words. It's imperishable. It's undefiled. It will not fade away. The biblical hope is in Christ. It's reserved in heaven. It's kept by the power of God. That's even amazing. It's kept by the power. Not by my efforts. It's by my trust. It's by my obedience. It's by faith exercised in the one who died but triumphed, resurrected. This is hope, beloved. This is hope. This is hope. This is a living hope that holds us like an anchor when we're going through storms, when we're going through trials. This hope is like an anchor. It holds us. If we don't possess this hope, and we're in storm, we're in a trial, we're in a scary situation, if our hope is not anchored in the Lord, it means that we will drift away. An anchor keeps you firm and settled. If that anchor is broken or loosed, may happen if you're a believer, you may drift away from the sovereign place where the Lord wants to display his power, his glory, and to shape you, to change you, transform you. We may be drifting away from the place that the sovereign Lord has chosen to work in our lives. Oh, but if our hope is indeed anchored in the Lord, it's a hope with an anchor. But of course, if it's dislodged, the ship will shift. Do we need to get back to that hope? To our foundation this morning? Any of us? See, then, this hope, we have a direct link to the throne of God. We read that in Romans. We have a direct link to the Lord, to the throne of grace. He is interceding for us as we pray. He's strengthening us. He's giving us hope. Is that sort of hope which says, okay, I may be going through the storms, but I'm not defeated. I know who holds my hands. I may be going through mockery and persecution, but my hope is in the Lord. He says, I'm blessed. That's the promise of God. It's a hope, and we have a direct link to God. See, friends, biblical hope, the hope that the Bible talks about and what we should have, each and every one of us who know Jesus, biblical hope is not based on what we see or what we receive with our natural senses. It isn't. It is founded, it is grounded upon God, his goodness, his promises, is grounded upon the information which he, the Lord, sovereignly imparts to us by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And it's received by faith. This is what singles you out from the unbeliever who's sitting at the next desk to you. He's living for today. He's living for what he's going to eat for. There's nothing wrong. We look forward to our food. We look forward to our family. We look forward to growing up. We look forward to the holiday. Of course we do. But that's all the ungodly have. And they will all disappear one time. We have a hope that is eternal. We have a hope that we it's not a wish. We know God is our Father. We are his children. We mentioned in prayer, somebody mentioned that, you know, a father, if his son asks for something good, he won't give him a snake. He won't give him a poisonous, something that would cause him trouble. Our Father loves us. And although he will chasten us and discipline us, keep your hope fixed on him, on Christ, the solid rock. Then he will be able to complete what he wants to do in your life. Perfect that for you. Don't drift. It's a biblical hope and it's eternal hope. It's a hope that will go beyond the grave. The world don't have that. That's what singles us out. We must be people of hope. And we must be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. May the love of Jesus constrain us, compel us, that others may be turned from their hopelessness. Just their dreams, they have dreams, but may never ever be fulfilled until they humble themselves and embrace the living Jesus Christ. Then they have hope. Hallelujah. You see, friends, the Apostle Paul gives us further reason to rejoice. He says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Times are vapor, our lives are vapors, aren't they? But hey, if we are truly believing and trusting the Lord, if we're obeying his commands, which are not burdensome, if we're obedient to him and walking the life of faith, if we quickly repent when we, as we heard last week, when we're not loving as we should be, when we are critical or judgmental and it's done in the wrong frame of mind, when we react in the flesh, when we know that unbelief has reared its ugly head, when we quickly confess, we have to confess to somebody else, we must do that, but most important, we confess to Jesus. We have a sure and certain hope that though life's a vapor, we will have an eternity with him, reigning. And he is our God of hope now! Hallelujah! The hope that we have as Christians is inseparable from the gospel truth. And how sure is this hope? How sure is the hope that God has for you, that God wants you to possess? How sure is it? Well, as sure as Jesus died and rose from the grave, as sure as we are justified and are being sanctified, as sure as we have been born again, we have hope. Hallelujah! Natural hope will rise and fall with every positive or negative report. Sounds right, isn't it? Of course it will. But our reading from Romans 8, which we started the sermon with, reminds us that biblical hope creates an expectation that survives and overcomes the ups and downs of life's ever-changing circumstances. It's rooted in God, the Sovereign One. Maybe someone here this morning is, you feel like there's no one can help you. You've got a situation that you're dealing with. It might be at school, college, it might be in the family, might be at work, might be a health situation. You're dealing with a situation, a storm, which you feel no one can help you with. It's just too big. It's just too big. Well, let's, on the assurance of God's word, and may he quicken you even now, Jesus has the power to overcome anything. And he proved this by overcoming life's greatest obstacle, death. Hallelujah! And if Jesus can do that, he can do and help you with whatever you are facing. And the cry of God this morning is, look to me, have faith in me. Aren't you grateful for that wonderful verse? Ask and you will receive. Seek or search and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches, seeks, will find. That's promise. That gives hope. It's hope in God and in his word. Therefore, based on the truth of God's word, we define hope as being undiminished trust in Christ. And it's in response to the promises of God as established by his word, by the Holy Spirit. And then waiting patiently for his sovereign fulfillment. Kept by his power. God has promised you and me more than a wish. For the believer, we can take confidence that our hope in Christ is not dependent on circumstances or what we have or we don't have or on other people. No, it's an application of our faith that gives us an assurance, a confident expectation that God will fulfill all his promises, and even in the midst of the storm, I am with you. He knows the way that you take. That's hope. I don't know what. Perhaps you've given up hope for family, perhaps. You've taken your eye off Jesus. We've all done that. I've done that many a time. God is calling us. These are the last days. If we're going to bring hope to a despairing, hopeless world, we've got to really be obedient to the Lord, activate our faith and trust in him, and let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Can we read together as we conclude one verse of Scripture? And read this as a biblical confession, Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Let's read it. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's personalize that verse. Now, may the God of hope fill me with all joy and peace in believing, that I may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Don't remain in hopeless despair. Let God restore hope to you even now. Believe that you in your Father, that you can be lifted up from disappointment and even the depths of despair into a life of praise, fulfillment, contentment, and destiny. Amen.